I'm talking with Ron Evans, who is the command module pilot for Apollo 17. And, Ron, we're recording this on November 11th, and November 10th, yesterday, was a special day for you, wasn't it?
Yes, it's November 10th is a very special day for me, and this particular November 10th, I was 39 years old. So I'm going to fly my first space mission at the age of 39.
Well, a one-day late happy birthday for
you. Hey, thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Where were you born?
I was born in a small town in St. Francis, Kansas. It's the last town in the northwest corner of the state of Kansas.
And tell us a little about your schooling and your road to becoming an astronaut.
Essentially, went to grade school in St. Francis, Kansas. Moved to Topeka, Kansas. Went to high school at Highland Park High School in Topeka. And then on to the University of Kansas. And while at the University of Kansas, I was in the Navy ROTC unit and then got my commission in the Navy upon graduation, upon graduating from the University of Kansas. Went into pilot training in the Navy and then got assigned as a in a fighter squadron on the West Coast. And then throughout the career there, picked up a master's degree in aeronautical engineering from the Navy postgraduate school, and made three, four carrier deployments. The fighter squadrons get assigned to aircraft carriers, and then you deploy to the Far East. In my case, I was always a West Coast sailor, and they deployed to the Far East. And the last assignment I had, oddly enough, was on the carrier Ticonderoga, which is going to be the recovery carrier for our flight. So I'll get back on the carrier Ticonderoga. And this was out in Vietnam waters the last time I was out on it. And so I flew about 100 missions over in Vietnam just before I was selected to participate in the astronaut program.
Well, now, you've had several simulated journeys into space, but this is your first real thing, isn't it?
This is the first time where I'll actually get the opportunity to fly. I've been on the astronaut support crew for Apollo 7, and Apollo 11, and on a backup crew for Apollo 14, and now on a prime crew for Apollo 17.
Well, I'm sure you're looking forward to that day of takeoff.
I sure am. I really am.
Well, the best to you. Ron Evans, command module pilot for Apollo 17. And from Houston, Texas, and the Manned Spacecraft Center, for Voice of America, this is Jim Parisi. Ron, you're the man that the men on the surface of the moon really want to know is up there and going around. You're the command module pilot. Now, you're not going to be just sitting there doing nothing as you're circling the lunar surface. What will you be doing?
While I'm going around the moon, I will essentially be operating what we call a scientific instrumentation module, or the SIM bay. I call it SIM bay. And it has essentially two cameras in it to take pictures of the moon as we're going around. And then it also has three brand new scientific instruments back there. One of them is what we call an ultraviolet spectrometer. And basically this is nothing more than a little gadget to measure what kind of air, what kind of atmosphere, what is in the atmosphere around the moon. And then another one is what we call an infrared scanning radiometer. And that's a fancy term for a thermometer. It's a thing that measures the temperature of the lunar surface from orbit. And then we have another gadget up there that's a lunar sounder. And this lunar sounder is essentially a kind of a radar, or something that zaps an electronic wave down to the lunar surface and then is reflected back up and picked up by some antenna that stick out on the command module. The antenna stick out about 40 feet on either side of the command module. Then two of the frequencies of the lunar sounder go down to about a kilometer below the lunar surface. As the electronic wave is reflected back up and recorded in the spacecraft, then we are able to interpret this wave and determine what kind of material is down below the lunar surface. Is there any water? Is there a pocket of water down there? This will be recorded. Is there a pocket of molten lava down there? Is there a pocket of cool lava? Is there a pocket of gold? We don't know for sure, you know, what's going to be down there. But the lunar sounder will help us determine, and hopefully we'll get some good information and map a strip all the way around the moon as to what type of material is underneath the orbital track.
And you'll be doing an awful lot of picture taking, too, yourself.
Yes, and of course, while these instruments are operating, I have to turn them on and off and pull the antennas in and out and also turn on the SIMBE cameras, the mapping camera and the pan camera. And then within the cockpit, I have a handheld cameras, two or three handheld cameras. And I'm looking out the window, taking pictures of the Terminator, which is the lunar sunset and sunrise. We get some very good pictures from these areas. We also have several areas on the moon that need to be where we need to get some more colored pictures from. So I have colored film up there taking colored pictures of various spots on the moon.
You'll be doing a lot of picture taking with your mind, in essence, too.
Yes,
you?
Very much with my mind, and also utilizing man's capability to interpret what he sees. In other words, no matter how many pictures you take of the moon, the best camera can't record the observations at the, as well as the eye. And then the human mind, hopefully I will have the capability to interpret what I see down there, make a geologic interpretation of the processes of the moon.
You've called yourself a geologist who doesn't have to get his feet dirty.
That's right. I'm an airborne geologist.
You're going to be the only man in the command module as it circles the moon while Gene Cernan and Jack Schmidt are on the surface of the moon, but you're not going to be the only living being in the command module, are you?
Oh, I guess, yeah, that's right. we're carrying an experiment that's called BioCore, and essentially six little pocket mice. They're all sealed up in their own little tube down there, and they have their own oxygen supply. And it's essentially a passive experiment, and I won't get the opportunity to watch them really because they're encased in a metal little metal box. But the purpose of this is to see what type of what the cosmic radiation does to these pocket mice. In other words, they can't operate on us to see how it affected us, but they can't operate on the mice and do that.
Well, it's going to be an exciting time for you, even though you're not on the lunar surface. Ron Evans, command module pilot of Apollo 17, and from Houston, Texas, and the Manned Spacecraft Center, this is Jim Parisi for the Voice of America. Ron, what are you going to be doing in terms of observation while you're circling the moon, while Gene and Jack are on the surface?
Well, in addition to taking pictures and this type of thing, I feel that one of the reasons for man's space flight is to develop man's capabilities to act as an observer. I have been trained as essentially what I like to call an airborne geologist, and in this light, I will be able to interpret much better than any camera can is the differences between something that... does it look like it's volcanic? Does it look like it's an impact crater? What are the things that would lead you to make this interpretation? Some of these things may be very subtle and do not show up on the film, such that the photo interpreters and the mappers cannot make this interpretation. But myself, I'll have the advantage of a varying sun angle. As the sun angle changes, you see things differently. And I'll have that advantage, plus the advantage of just being there, seeing it with the eye, and being able to interpret. Did the flow, did the flow originate from this wrinkle ridge, or did the flow originate from a cinder cone somewhere else? Which way is it flowing? Did the wrinkle ridge, does it cover up swirls, or does the swirl go across a wrinkle ridge? Is a difference in color a real difference in color? Are these little black stripes that we see around some of the craters on the thing, are those shadows, or are they real differences in texture and the morphology of the material?
Apollo 17 Command Module Pilot Ron Evans. I'm Jim Parisi. Ron, on the way back from the moon, from the area of the moon, coming back toward Earth when the three of you are once again back in the command module, you'll be taking a special kind of walk, won't you?
Yes, that's the what we call the command module EVA.
Standing for extra vehicular activity.
Extra vehicular activity, that's right. Which is another fancy term for walking in space. It really is what you're doing. And the reason we do that is not just to get out and walk in space. The reason we do that is because back in the scientific instrumentation module, we have recorded the film from the pan camera and the mapping camera, and also the lunar sounder. Information is recorded on film. So these three film cassettes have to be retrieved and put in the command module, because the command module is the only portion that really comes back to the Earth intact. The rest of it kind of burns up, and the service module burns up as it comes down. So that's going to be a wonderful opportunity for me to, well, if you get right down to it, it's an opportunity to be a spaceman, you know. In other words, that's the time I get to put on my spacesuit, and I get to walk out into the blackness of space and actually get out there, and you're just in the spacesuit. You go hand over hand. You always have to hang on to something so you don't float off, because I have no means of maneuvering around there. So all maneuvering has to be done with the hands. So you hang on to one handrail and just go kind of hand over hand back down to the sim bay to retrieve the cassettes, and then you hook them into a little tether, which is you tie it to your arm is what it amounts to, and then you bring the film cassette back up to the command module and hand it to the lunar module pilot, Jack Smith, and then he hooks his rope onto it, or tethers it up, and puts it inside the command module, and then I go back down and pick up the other cassettes, and I bring them back one at a time as we come back.
Now, this is not to say that if you should by chance let go, you're going to go.
Oh no! I won't go floating out into space if I do happen to let go, because I'm tied to my oxygen umbilical. In other words, my oxygen supply comes from the spacecraft through a hose that's hooked to me. So if I do float off, and all the lunar module pilot, all he has to do is pull the hose in, and he can pull me back into the spacecraft.
How long is the spacewalk scheduled to last?
It's kind of the length of the spacewalk is open-ended, in that it'll last as long as it takes the time to go retrieve these three cassettes, and I'm guessing it'll probably take about 45 minutes to an hour to do all this.
And we'll be able to watch this, won't we, if we have access to television?
If you have access to television, you will. Yes, we install a television camera on the open hatch, and it's pointing out toward the sim bay. And there should be some pretty good pictures, I think.
Will we be able to get to see the Earth during that, too? Will the Earth be a backdrop to what you're doing?
The Earth, I tried to get the Earth as a backdrop right behind in the TV field of view, but as it turns out, you can't get the Earth and the Sun in the same position. You have to have the correct lighting on the sim bay itself. You also have to have the Sun pointing at a certain spot on the spacecraft for temperature constraints. And as it turns out, the Earth, I think, is going to be kind of out the command module hatch, and we may be able to see it on the way out. I'll be able to see it once I get out, but I'm not sure the rest of the world will be able to or not.
I'm sure you're looking forward to the sight.
Oh, it's going to be beautiful. It has to be beautiful.
Well, we'll get to see all three of you a little later on that same path back to Earth by television, won't we?
Yes, we'll have a television, what we call a television press conference, where the press people on the ground will be able to ask questions to us as we're coming back, and then we'll be on television and answer the questions back.
Well, we'll look for you. We'll call it the Cernan, Schmidt, and Evans Show.
Okay, that's what it will be.
Ron Evans, the command module pilot of Apollo 17. I'm Jim Parisi for the Voice of America, coming to you from the Houston Manned Spacecraft Center of NASA. Ron Evans, tell us about so much closeness in space and the cooperation and relationship between three astronauts who are going to be so close together for 13 days, or most of 13 days. I guess it turns out to be 10 days, less the 3 days that two of you are on the surface of the moon.
Yes. Well, you know, it depends on what you call closeness. I'm sure some of you have had the opportunity to go camping and live in a tent, or a camper, or live, you know, you camp out. And you live in a little building, And if you can imagine staying in that little building, you know, for instance, it's raining or something like that and you can't go outside, well, you can kind of visualize a spacecraft as something like that, only it's a lot smaller than a tent. So you've got three guys up there who have to be somewhat compatible in order to get along, because you're camping out for like 13 days almost. And, of course, in our training cycle, we get to know each other. We know each other's capabilities as to how we're going to react with certain malfunctions, what we're going to do during a spacecraft burn when we go into lunar orbit, what we're going to do during the EVA portions and this type of thing. And we understand one another and get to think kind of like one another. And we know that we're going to be helping each other at one point in time. And it's a team. It's a team working together. It really is.
And the team goes just beyond the three of you.
Oh, you bet it does. The space program and the flights to the moon, we send three guys up there. I'm very fortunate to be one of the three guys going this time. But there's no way that we could be able to do this without the team of people that got the spacecraft ready, that work on the ground while we're up there. And we're kind of, well, we're the guys that kind of get all the glory, I guess, really, is what it amounts to. We get all the glory. And the other people that are working and helping us and making us go on down here are really the things that make it go.
You have a family.
Yes, I my wife Jan, and then my daughter Jamie, who is 13 years old, and my boy John is 11 years old.
How are they looking on this space flight that you're about to embark on?
Well, I think they're looking at a space flight as something that Dad has been wanting to do for a long time. And I'm sure they're very pleased with that fact. And it's funny about children, though, you know. I think just like anybody else's kids, you know, if what Dad wants to do, and if Dad's been thinking about going fishing for this, or if Dad's been thinking about getting a new car or getting a job or something, and he finally gets it, well, then the kids are glad. They really are. And I don't think they're elated from the standpoint that I'm really going to go to the moon. They're related from the standpoint that I'm getting the chance to do something that I've wanted to do for a long time.
And they'll be watching all the way as much as they can while you're on television.
As much as they can, I'm sure they will. And yet they're still kids, and they'll get tired of watching the TV just like any other kid, and they go out and ride the bicycle or go to school and everything else, you know. So, but they'll be interested. They'll get part of it. At least I like to hope they watch once in a while.
Sum up for us, Ron, your overall feelings about this mission, your own personal feelings.
First of all, this mission is a culmination of my desires from two standpoints, and these are really personal standpoints. I think I am fulfilling an opportunity that I have to do something for my country. I am very proud to be a part of this country, and I feel that by going to the moon and participating in Apollo 17, that I am fulfilling something and helping out what's going on in my country. The other reason is that I personally like to explore, and I looked back a while back and I says, gee whiz, you can't go up a river anymore and find out what's at the end of the river. Someone has already done that. You know, where is a place, or where is an opportunity to get out and explore, do something different, something that very few other people have ever done? And going to the moon is one of those things. So I'm really pleased that I get the opportunity to explore the moon.
Well, I'm sure it will be a journey of adventure for you and all that you've ever dreamed. And I guess there's no more to say except to wish you the best of luck on the mission.
Hey, well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Ron Evans, Command Module Pilot for Apollo 17, soon to take off from Cape Kennedy for the moon. From Houston, Texas, and the Manned Spacecraft Center, this is Jim Parisi for the Voice of America.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ron Evans, Command Module Pilot on Apollo 17. And let me just say that we, the crew on this final Apollo mission, very much appreciate your interest in what we are trying to achieve. Good morning. I'm Ron Evans, Command Module Pilot on Apollo 17, and I just want to remind you that you're listening to a live coverage of Gene and Jack's activities on the lunar surface and my circling around the moon.